I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
The Ballon d'Or France Football 2019 is Mr. Lionel Messi.
Barcelona football star Lionel Messi has won a record 6th Ballon d'Or for being the best player of the year, as judged by France Football. Messi's 6th golden ball moves him ahead of rival Cristiano Ronaldo. The Argentinian struck 54 goals for club and country in the 2018-2019 season.
Como veíamos ahí en el video, hace 10 años recibí a mí.
I was awarded with my first Ballon d'Or here in Paris. I remember I came with my three brothers. I was 22 years old, and everything that was happening to me was unthinkable. Now, 10 years later, I have received the 6th one in a totally different and special moment in my personal life, with my wife and my three sons. He added, "I'm aware of how old I am, and you enjoy more this moment because of the time that retirement is coming, and it is difficult. I want to repeat that I still have many years left, but time passes by and everything happens so quickly." And among the women,
the woman Ballon d'Or France Football is, let me open the envelope, Megan Rapinoe.
Rapinoe won the women's Ballon d'Or for leading the United States to World Cup glory in July.
I can't believe I'm actually the one winning it in this field. It's been such an incredible year, and women's football is lucky to have every single one of these amazing players every year. And it pushes us, and it pushes me to be the best player that I can.
She scored 6 goals in the championship, earning her the Golden Boot as the top scorer and the Golden Ball as the top player. Ada Hegerberg was the 2018 Ballon d'Or winner and admires Rapinoe's outspoken style on everything from politics to equal pay for women in sports.
It's not always easy to be on the top of your game, but also use your voice to something good. And I think really she has carried the sport into the right direction. She hasn't been afraid of speaking up. And she doesn't speak up only by herself or for herself, but also for all of us, and I think we all should be inspired with that.
To be the king of the bush for a year, it's very special. I love this place. I really, really do.
It's good to be king of the golf course, and for the next year, Spaniard Pablo Larrazaba will be known as Alfred Dunhill Championship winner, topping the field at Leopard Creek Country Club in South Africa.
You know, I played my first tournament here in my golfing career on tour. 338 tournaments after I got that Leopard. So, it's very, very special.
Larrazaba was one shot better than Joel Soholm of Sweden to claim his 6th professional golf title and first in South Africa.
I mean, through a lot of tough times the last 4 years, struggling with my game. But now, to win in paradise is very special. This is the most special place I have ever played golf in. It's a dream come true. This day I'm not gonna forget this day, never in my life.
Will Besseling of the Netherlands finished 2 shots back.
Mentally, I haven't been in this position ever.
The effort was his best since his last victory 2 years ago.
I didn't win, but I felt so good today, and I felt I could win this, and that was the greatest feeling I've had in a while.
He feels close to finishing on top again.
I guess if I keep playing like this, keep going like this, that win is going
to
come.
Larrazaba had to battle not only a competitive field, but trouble walking and hitting.
I had a big blister in my right toe that every time I went through it, I couldn't. It was too painful. So, I was snap hooking all the shots in the front nine.
When he reached the turn at the 10th tee,
I realized that I should plus 6 on the front nine. I was only 2 behind. So, I tried to put the ball in play, and the short game will do the work. Make me take that Leopard home.
Perseverance led Larrazaba to a special place.
I have probably as many South African friends than Spanish friends. So, this place is like my second home. I feel a little little percentage of me South African. Now I can quit golf. You know, I did it all.
A World Anti-Doping Agency expert panel has confirmed a database from the discredited Moscow laboratory had removed positive doping tests from data requested to lift earlier doping sanctions. The panel recommended Russian athletes should compete as neutrals at next year's Tokyo Olympics and other major events for the next 4 years, including the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Станислав Позняков is president of the Russian Olympic Committee.
Хочу особенно подчеркнуть для всех вас о том, что
I want to specifically stress to all of you that the Olympic Committee has not discussed the upcoming decision by the WADA Executive Board. The course of action depending on WADA's decision on December 9th will be determined by the Russian Olympic Executive Board soon after the official decision has been made. The head of the Russian Olympic Committee disputed the idea that his nation's athletes would not compete under the Russian flag. A neutral flag is completely out of the question. If you open and carefully look into the Olympic texts, you'll be able to find a corresponding paragraph which distinctly regulates all things related to the flag and anthem of national Olympic committees. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said Russia was being unfairly targeted by the international community. The World Anti-Doping Agency Executive Committee will rule on the recommendations December 9th. Boxing promoter Eddie Hearn says Saudi Arabia is a boxing-savvy nation.
I think the impression is, what do they know about boxing? Like, they do have TVs. They do have the internet. They do follow sport. They all know who Anthony Joshua is. They all watch the first fight, and they're lucky enough to get the rematch.
Hearn is bringing the Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz Jr. rematch to Saudi Arabia this week.
You know, you have to remember, they don't get major boxing in Saudi Arabia. They've got the biggest fight in world boxing in Saudi Arabia. And it's going to change a lot of things. The landscape of the sport, probably the participation levels of the sport in Saudi. And the plan is beneath this event to also for them to invest in the grassroots of the sport here. So I feel, you know, privileged really that they've chosen our sport to invest in.
The British-born Joshua sensationally lost his belts to Mexican-American Ruiz Jr. when he was stopped in the seventh round of their first meeting at Madison Square Garden in New York City June 1st. Ruiz Jr. said he wants to make more history and retain his WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO heavyweight world title belts. Both men are age 30, and no matter the result of the so-called clash on the dunes, Hearn says Joshua remains a force in the ring.
When you're talking about a 30-year-old man who would have had 24 fights, lost to one man, and unified the World Heavyweight Championship twice, he's got a lot of improvements to make. He's getting better and better. So don't write him off yet, but we don't even think about losing. For me, he has a future of win, lose, or draw. But the only thing that matters is the win, and that's the only thing he's focused on.
Next year, the Jaime Nunso Foundation will launch an international cultural sports event called the Gate of Return Marathon and Festival in Benin, West Africa.
Two-time Academy Award nominee actor Jaime Nunso was at the United Nations to announce the marathon race and festival in his native Benin. This past Monday marked the International Day for the Abolition of Slavery. The Gate of No Return in Benin is a statue that depicts two figures in an embrace. There are identical statues in Liverpool and Richmond, Virginia, to represent the triangle of the transatlantic slave trade between Africa, the United States, and Europe.
My dream for the Gate of No Return is to create an international symbol of triumph over slavery and to heal the wounds that slavery left behind. The Gate of No Return itself, a UNESCO World Heritage monument that marks a place where over a million of Africans were sold into slavery and shipped off to the New World.
Nunso says the 42-kilometer marathon will represent a symbolic journey.
The marathon would follow a symbolic course from the Reconciliation Statue in the city of Cotonou and succeed along the beach to the Gate of No Return in the village of Ouidah. The event will attract an international field of runners, and in a final act of homecoming, the runners will finish the marathon by passing through the historic gate of no return and symbolically converted the monument into a gate of return.
He says the marathon will help to overcome forms of slavery that still exist.
The gate of no return, marathon and festival will raise funds to help save young girls and women who were sold into sex trafficking. We'll raise funds to fight these forms of modern slavery, to fight human trafficking in Africa, and provide financial support to former child slaves.
Have you ever dreamed of owning a Formula One race car? Two of legendary Formula One driver Michael Schumacher's cars were auctioned off ahead of the 2019 season-ending Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
The 2002 Ferrari F2002. An amazing opportunity, certainly, an incredible example from the V10 era, driven to victory by none other than Michael Schumacher at San Marino, the Austrian Grand Prix, and the French Grand Prix, contributing to Michael's fifth world championship title, the most dominant championship season to date in Grand Prix history.
How much was paid for the car?
And selling on my left, if we're all done, on your right, at $5,900,000, at $5,900,000. $5,900,000.
Then up for sale.
The 1992 Benetton B192, driven by Michael Schumacher in the 1992 FIA Formula One World Championship, to a podium finish in the German and Italian Grand Prix, and the fourth in Great Britain as well.
It went for the relative bargain price of
$725,000. Going once at $725,000. Going twice at $725,000. Fair warning at $725,000. At $725,000.
If the cars were a bit too pricey, there was also a less expensive Formula One slot car racetrack.
That has been signed by the very same drivers on tomorrow's grid, custom built by Slot Mods in Detroit. These are without doubt the top of the line slot car tracks in the world.
The bidding ended by
selling the cars and the racetrack at $40,000, at $40,000. Yours, sir. $40,000. Well done. Thank you.
The proceeds from the sales of Schumacher's iconic cars went to the Keep Fighting Michael Foundation, which was set up after the German suffered life-changing injuries following a skiing accident in December 2013. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.